Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
Certainly, that's what we specialize in as we come to you live from Pretoria in Centurion at the SID Media House, where our one promise, our one job is to ensure that we give you media that changes lives, is to ensure that we give you content that ensures that you draw closer to Christ. That's why even the motto of Adventist World Radio is from broadcast to baptism, because that's our goal, right? To say after we've done our job with the grace of God and with His aiding power of the Holy Spirit, we can see souls being won to Christ, lives being changed for the better, souls being refreshed and renewed, those who were bound being released from those chains of the enemy. And that's it. It's, when we've done that, we can close up and say we've done our responsibility. Thank you so much for joining us right here on the Adventist World Radio SID Media. This point in time, we're going to be going into our conversation. It's a Friday, and Friday with a difference. Second Friday of the month. Which means usually we have kids' perspective. But for today, we're having it with a bit of a difference. We're having young people's perspective. I don't know, is that how you would call it? The youth perspective. Yeah, I think that's a better word. And we're going to be joined by a couple of ladies this evening as we go into a segment where we want to understand something that usually when you address it, the first thing that comes to mind is ladies. Of course, and we're going to be explaining this and putting a disclaimer on it, that when we go through this discussion, it's not meaning or saying that ladies don't matter. Oh, no. It's saying that we understand why. Or we want to understand, in actual fact, why it is that ladies are the ones that are at the forefront. That's why we're starting the conversation with the ladies today. And then, of course, we want to see it being opened up. Perhaps in the coming weeks, we will be touching on everybody else as we go through this space together. As we go through this discussion, we are discussing, by the way, we're discussing dress reform and decorum, right? Dress reform and decorum. Yes, we're going there. I can see people, but how yeah, we are going there. And we are hoping that God's word will guide us. We're hoping that the mature voices we have in the room will also help us. And we're hoping that at the end of the day, the scripture and the Bible's perspective, it's what will have won. And so we are going to be going deep in scripture, and you want to hear your thoughts, your comments coming through as well tonight. So do share your thoughts, your comments on this number. It's +27 73 470 3520. The number again is +27 73 470 3520. Or if you're joining us on the YouTube stream or the Facebook stream, you can just comment, drop a comment there in the chat box, and we'll be able to get you to hear what you are saying to us. I'm going to be inviting now the guests who are going to be joining us this evening to come through to the fore as we prepare to start our program. We're going to be having a couple of ladies. I think I've got about five or six ladies joining us this evening, and my goodness, let's then see if we can have them come through. We are adding you, ladies. Do prepare. It is time that you come through to the fore, as we are going to be, we are about to have this conversation. Yes, we are going there. We are going there. And I do feel very much excited to come through and join us in this study together. Your thoughts, your comments, that's why we have you here. Your questions, especially the young ones who are going to be posing the questions. No holds barred. Don't worry. The pastor is here, and she said, "I'm very much prepared to answer you any questions that you have." Am I wrong, Pastor B? Isn't that what you said? You said you are prepared, Moss, for our guest.
Hello, everyone. Yes, by the grace of God, I hope to be able to answer the questions Amen. Today. The ones that I can't. Remember, we have other sessions. We will tackle them then.
Certainly. And I think that's the key thing, right? To say sometimes if answers are not available, there's always a next session. But beyond that, this is sometimes not always aimed at giving all the answers, but at sparking a conversation so that we can then go on and discuss these matters in detail and perhaps even have a deeper study, be it in groups or perhaps at an individual level, so that we can know better. Good evening to you, Pastor, and welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Brother Veriri. I'm very happy to be here, Brother Veriri.
Marvelous stuff. Also joining us is all the way from Zambia, Shepherdess Namushi Mutoya. Ma'am, good evening to you, and thank you so much for joining us. Shepherdess, if you're speaking, your mic is muted. Oh, I think the shepherdess line just dropped there. I hope that she'll be able to come back and join us. Let's then speak to, I'm not too sure what I want to call her. Is it my partner in crime or what? But let's have Rosetta. Rosetta, good evening to you. Apparently, this is your brainchild. Good evening and welcome to the Bible Perspective.
Good evening and thank you. Thank you for having me.
Trusting that we find you well.
Yes.
Happy Sabbath, by the way.
Happy Sabbath to you too and everybody else who's listening.
Thank you.
Awesome stuff. Awesome stuff. So we are going to be talking about dress reform and decorum, touching on some very pointed parts of this very seldom spoken of conversation, right? I was when we chatted to the sent out the blurb to the online platforms, to the social media platforms. We said that if this is important, how come we seldom hear it being spoken about in a chat platform, a sermon? When last did you hear a sermon about dress reform or a teaching, a study, an afternoon lesson about dress reform, a Bible study, right? What made you come up with this as a conversation for us to discuss tonight?
For me, I think it's always been a blur. Mm-hmm. It's never true in, yes, there is people who have been bold enough to point out everything that they felt was wrong.
Okay.
But in as much as they were the bold, there was just as enough people who justify why we do certain things. Growing up, I think when you go to church where you can't wear makeup, you can't do your nails, you can't shirts, you can't, there's a whole lot of can.
Yes,
and then
yes.
You move on to the very church, but in a different mm-hmm. area, and it's all happening, and it's like, where do we stand? So there's a good number of people that defend it, and there's also a good number of people that are for, pro dress reform, and
okay.
some of them that are justify what we do. So it's not necessarily that they are not for dress reform
okay,
directly,
okay.
at least. Let me put it that way for lack of a better explanation.
Yeah.
It's not that they are against dress reform, but that they
lack the information.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm. All right.
So
and
we skip over like eggs. We don't want to talk about it, otherwise it might offend people.
It's a touchy subject. It's a touchy subject. Yeah, yeah, no, certainly. Thank you so much for that. Maybe before I let you go and we then introduce the other guests joining us this evening, on which side of the fence do you fall on? The ones who are pro-dress reform, the ones that are anti-dress reform, or you're in the middle and you're saying, you know what, if I am given an opportunity to learn, I will then be able to make an informed decision?
Absolutely on the middle line. Which is my ear. I don't know. I've got my leg in the other side. I need
space
to fall.
Okay. Forward. Let's hope that this evening's conversation will assist in giving you a direction to lead on. You are like that angel in Revelations 10, right? One foot on the land, one foot on the in the sea. I like that. Let's then address our next guest this evening. We're joined by a very well-known content creator and someone who is mustn't say that. Let's keep that on under hash. For now. But let me just say the host and creator of God and Growth, the podcast and the ministry, Thube Lihle Maduna. Hi, Thube, and welcome to the Bible Perspective.
Hi, Derek. Who wants to reveal secrets?
That's why I was quick to say, hold my tongue.
Hi, Hasha, and hi, everyone. Hi, lady.
Hello, Thube.
Marvelous stuff. Thank you so much for joining us and really appreciate your time coming through this evening on the Bible Perspective. Maybe before we go deeper and with everybody else, I want to just maybe ask this question, which I asked Rosetta as well. On which side of the fence do you fall? Pro-dress reform, anti-dress reform? Or you're also in the middle to say, you know what, guys, I still need information for me to make a decision there.
I'm definitely pro-dress reform.
Okay.
And I'm so happy that Rosie is saying no because she doesn't have the understanding of it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it's okay. And that's the grace that we need to give people.
Certainly.
It's okay for people to not make certain changes in their lives because they haven't gotten the proper information regarding it, rather than to practice something without understanding. And then 2 months later, we see you got crop tops and like, oh, my sister has fallen.
I thought you said. Yeah.
But that's not the case. We just didn't have proper understanding. So yeah, I'm definitely pro-dress reform.
I like that. Pro-dress reform, says Tube. Let's cross over to our next guest. We've got Lebo. Good evening to you, Lebo, Sister Mangwaela. Welcome to the Bible Perspective.
Good evening. Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
Welcome. Glad to have you over as well.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. So, Lebo, tell us, pro-dress reform, anti-dress reform, or what is dress reform?
In my way, mm-hmm. I think dress reform is the way you dress for church, or the way as a lady you dress.
Okay.
You could be high or low, or just in between, yeah.
Okay. So it's more the manner that lady dresses, but more so the length of the clothes that they're wearing.
Yes.
I think
that's what it is.
All right. I liked how you slipped in something there, and I'm thinking to be something that we need to touch on as well as we go on this evening, to say the way you dress for church. And I'm like, okay, does it matter how you dress for certain events? Or if you're dress reform, it must show all across the board. I think that's a very important question. Thank you so much, and welcome, and thank you for joining us this evening, Lebo. We're also having Kwiluka, who is using our decreter's phone. Hi, Kwiluka. How are you, Sister Mwila?
I'm good, Yakoto.
No, we're doing all right. Thank you so much. Thanks for joining us, and happy Sabbath to you.
Happy Sabbath to you too.
Mm-hmm. So tell us, we're now with dress reform. Do you believe in dress reform? Are you against dress reform? Or you are like wondering what is dress reform and just still wanting to find out?
Personally, I just wanted to know what like is dress reform.
Okay.
I feel like I have, like, I think I know what it is, but I'm not quite sure.
All right.
What it is.
Okay.
So I just wanted to know. Like,
you want to know what it is. Okay.
Yes.
I like that. So she wants to know what is dress reform. And I think this conversation, you are in the right place, should give you that understanding of what is dress reform. Then you can then make your mind as to understanding what it is. We also then have joining us on the line, I think we have her back, Shepherdess Mutoya, who comes through now on the line. Ma'am, good evening to you and welcome.
Good evening. How are you, ladies?
Hi.
Hello.
Thank you so much for joining us this evening, Ma, and I truly appreciate your company.
Thank you so much. I'm also excited to be here.
Yes, indeed. Dress reform, quite a challenging topic, I think, and I'm hoping you're prepared to address and assist us in this conversation with the young ladies.
Sure.
Not sure.
Sure, I'm happy to have a great discussion with them.
Indeed.
That's true.
When you look at dress reform, in your circles, in your churches as you've frequented, perhaps even in your itinerary, I know you're an itinerant speaker. When last did you address this topic, dress reform?
Not really, as in dress reform as a topic,
okay,
but maybe looking around issues of modesty, talking to the young ladies on just dressing generally.
Mm-hmm.
We've not really had a topic on just as it has come as a dress reform, but we do have talks on dressing, modest issues. Exactly, maybe
let me ask you a pointed question then, as we now get into our conversation this evening. Dress reform, do you think dress as we have it today in 24th century in our churches, in our societies, in our communities, among the young people, is needing to be reformed? I mean, dress reform is a concept, a statement that came from the early days, which perhaps people might be thinking, but why do we need to reform? I mean, it's almost like saying church reform, right? And you'd be like, wait a minute, we don't need to reform. We reformed already in the 1800s. We're done with the Reformation, or in the 1500s at least. So we're done with that. We don't need to reform. Do you think today we need reform, or we just need to maybe, like you're saying, speak more on what is the right way to do it, but not necessarily there is no need for reform? Mamutoya?
To the question.
Ooh, the shepherd is his line, not the very best there. Sorry, ma'am, I don't know if you got my question. Ooh, okay, it looks like the shepherd's line is breaking a bit. Pastor Marks, I don't know if you got the question, and maybe would want to attempt that one as we kick off.
Yeah, can you just repeat the question quickly
I was saying that when you look at it, I had made a comment earlier on in my initial remarks to say we've got this almost silence and almost neglect. I don't know if neglect is the word regarding dress reform, where you don't hear many topics about it, many studies about it, many sermons about it, to say perhaps it being an old term coming out mostly in the 1800s, perhaps we don't need to be speaking reform now, and we might be just need to be speaking how to dress, or perhaps encouraging on what to dress. Is dress reform something we need to have as a conversation, especially among our young people, or we don't need to reform? They are doing quite okay.
Actually, Brother Viriri Pop, we need to actually be speaking about dress reform. What we must remember is that the Bible, as much as it is an old book, but mm-hmm. it's actually very relevant to the times and the days that we are living in today.
Okay.
So as much as we are looking at the issue of diet, we are looking at the fact that where we are going to work, is it safe there? All those things form part of where we are living in today. And therefore, certainly, we also need to talk about dress. I want to give you an example, and I think we will delve deeper as we are discussing it. For mm-hmm. instance, today I went to the hospital to go and anoint someone, right?
Okay.
I noticed, and this is something that I've always known, that the bed there, it's everything is covered in linen, for instance. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The doctors that are walking around are wearing linen.
Okay.
You know, the sheets, everything linen. But this we find in the Old Testament already, where God tells us not to mix fabrics. Mm. Why is it that the hospitals are following that law? Because they know that 100% linen gives quicker healing. You understand? So we should be talking about how we dress. We should be talking about how we eat. We should be talking about our everyday lifestyle so that we can make and pave our way closer to Jesus.
I like that. So you're saying biblical principles as laid down in yesteryear are still very much valid today. All righty. I like that. A powerful point there, Shepherdess. And I see the comments from our listeners already coming to say, yeah, Mfundisi is already starting. We just started the topic, but she's already cooking with gas. Thank you, Mom. I'm going to then give an opportunity to the ladies. Now, we're going to be posing the question that you have. And if you want to add on to the question, or you want to subtract from the question to say, no, I differ. Let's hear it. Rosie, we're going to start with you. When we hear dress reform, what would be your questions that would come up and what you'd want to address and bring to the table that perhaps Mfundisi Noma Mutoya can assist us with?
I would like to just start right there where she ended.
Okay, Rosie.
types of... For one, okay. I just learned right now that linen is used in hospitals because for healing.
Okay.
I didn't know that. I'm quite aware of it being mentioned in the Bible and not mixing fabrics. I'm well aware of that. Mm-hmm. But I've always said, and I think I once asked you as well, and I was like, there is a certain response when you wear certain fabrics at church.
Okay.
For example, you can't, I don't know, maybe jeans is stretching it because people just, maybe it's more casual, but I know with leather and lace, and we wear lace, a lot of lace, but there is certain very conservative churches that don't allow the wearing of lace. They don't allow the wearing of leather. It's frowned upon. You cannot wear fabric. Now the question is it because of the healing element of linen that we are all supposed to just wear linen, which I'm sure we don't wear linen
all the time, right? Yeah,
will frown upon lace and leather. They still mix all the other fabrics. There's so many fabrics. You've got your cottons, you've got your satins and your silks and all of those things, and they wear those fabrics, but you can't wear lace. So I think you can tell I'm very fond of leather and lace. So, I just want to know, what's the deal with leather and lace?
I like that. And actually, Mfundisi, maybe we're going to give you the first opportunity to respond, yeah, Pastor Marks. I like the question that Rosie is bringing, because it's saying in the realm of dress, before we even talk about the size and the tightness and all those other things, just the material that is there, the scripture sometimes has mentioned, I know that in other places it would speak such things as, don't wear things that are made up of two different materials, you know, polyester and cotton or something of the sorts, wool and cotton and the likes, where... What is the thinking behind that, you know, and especially now coming to the point that Rosetta is bringing across, there is, you can wear denim, we don't really have something to say, I'm not sure if there is something that we say, we don't want to see it in church, however, but leather and lace, usually those, even in your private spaces, we look at you with leather, we're like, ah, Mzalwane has now become a gangster. Talk to us, is it just a cultural thing that we frown upon it, or is it biblical, and we want the Bible truth here?
All right, wonderful. There's a certain community that I actually like, and I like to follow how they do things.
Okay.
The Amish community. I don't know if anyone has ever heard of the Amish community. The Amish community live in their own place. Mm-hmm. You know, they make their own food. They grow their own food. They have their own schools, their own hospitals, and things like that. And guess what? They make their own clothes, and they never mix. So if you are making cotton, if you are making linen, then it's linen. If it's leather or whatever it is strictly that. God knows, like I said earlier, that if you mix fabrics, then you are messing up with the frequency of your body. Remember, God knows and he's the one who created us. So the fact that they are making their own clothes, we should take a lesson from that. That by now, Adventists, we should actually be making our own clothes.
Our own clothes.
So that we adhere to the laws that God gave us. Because remember, it's for our own good. It's for our own health. You understand? And then secondly, I want to address the issue of lace.
Okay.
Remember, right now at the moment, we are not the ones who are designing the clothes, all right? And I want to be as authentic as possible.
Yeah.
Somebody else is doing it. And I think you've heard of a saying that sex sells, right?
True.
So
true.
Lace on its own, when you are looking at lace, the first thing that comes to mind is the bedroom. All right. So imagine you are a lady, you are wearing lace, but you are in church. Maybe you are a chorister. People that are looking at you, we're not singing, to be honest. We're looking at what you are wearing and the effect that it has on us.
Okay.
So lace definitely is a no-no. Can I also just add there? I think, again, I'm going ahead of myself.
Mm-hmm.
But everything that is designed in the fashion world, because it's not us who's doing it, has an ulterior motive.
Mm.
All right. For instance, makeup. If you look at just the lipstick, the lipstick, especially red and pink, and I'm going to say it as it is because I want to be authentic.
Okay, Mfundis.
If you put on a red lipstick or a pink lipstick as a lady, it represents something, whether you are aware of it or not. A man who's looking at you is seeing a female genitalia when he is looking at you. So those are some of the dangers that Satan puts in front of our youth, and they think it's just a constant thing. But to be honest, and I want to be honest,
yes, ma'am,
it is not right. It is not good. Satan designed it that way, and you and as we are learning and as we are discussing, I hope that the Holy Spirit moves amongst us.
Yeah.
So yes, I hope I've done justice to that question.
Whew, okay. Zanele, come back to your show, please. Things are already getting heated. I was not ready for such conversations. My goodness. Maybe Mfundisi, thank you so much for reminding us. And I think I am already feeling a bit warm as I take my water. Please do pray for us as we go a bit more deeper to invite the Holy Spirit to guide us. Please pray, ma'am.
Yep. Satan is not here to play with us. That's Certainly. What we must always remember. I'm going to say a prayer as we are discussing further so that we can accept. I know, you know what, Brother Viriri, mm-hmm. it's hard
yeah.
to resist.
Yeah.
It's hard. We want to do these things. Yes. We want to, you know, we want to fit in
we
and
want
all
to be
those
on
things.
Flick, so, Mfundisi, God, on flick.
Exactly. Yeah. We wanna look fly and all those things. But I think time has come where God is calling us to true repentance.
Certainly.
Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the time that you have given us. Yes, indeed, these topics are hard for us to discuss, but give me the strength to tell the truth as you have prepared it in my heart. And I know, Lord, that some of the things, even I still falter on them. But I pray, Lord, that we can leave the world behind and focus on Jesus because Amen. You are about to come. You don't want us to, you don't want to find us still holding on to the things of the world, especially yes. things that we know. We should let go of. Help us to let go of things that we know are not glorifying and worshiping you. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen and amen. Rosie, are you okay? Did you hear Mfundisi? Mfundisi just went for the jugular straight up to say hey, it's the aesthetics and also whether we like it or not, it invokes a sense of something else in the people's minds when they look at you because we dress for ourselves, but also people are looking at what we're dressing. I don't know. Are you okay with that answer?
It's sort of just now I have more questions.
Aibo, okay.
I don't know if we'll have
let's note them down. Let's note those questions down if they're still able to come back around to them or if they're for different topics. Certainly we want to exhaust this topic and if it means we bring it over, maybe my boss is listening here. Ma'am, we want to bring this over. Remove little heaven, bring in dress reform. The people have spoken. let's hear the young ones. Lebo. What would you say, especially as you were saying, you're speaking earlier on regarding dress reform, you know, you think it's how ladies dress and how they are to be addressed and so forth. What would you say are some of the top questions you have regarding dress reform?
So at school, most of the time, so I'm the only Adventist between my friends.
Okay.
And let's say we'd be talking about things like earrings and how I cannot be wearing them, but they can. But they're always saying that it's in the Old Testament and we Seventh-day Adventists, okay. we mostly for Old Testament. For example, when God said that the Israelites should take off all the earrings and the jewelry, but New Testament, it's very different. And I tried looking it up, but I couldn't find. And when I search, it says that in the New Testament, you can wear earrings and jewelry, things like that. So I just wanted to know about it because I'm very confused now that why only follow the Old Testament? Because all of these things, they're in the Old Testament, but the New Testament, it says different things.
Okay. There you have it, Mfundisi. Apparently, the Old Testament says, take off your jewelry. But the New Testament says, no, man, it's cool. You can wear that stuff. I see Shepherdess Namushi is back. Maybe let's start from her and hear what her thoughts are. And then maybe, Mfundisi, if you've got any other comments, you can also come in on that. I've noted the comments coming through from our WhatsApp line. Just a reminder, you can share your thoughts, your comments. The pastor is on fire today. Do text us on +27 73 470 3520. That number again is +27 73 470 3520. If you're joining us on Facebook, on YouTube, just drop a comment in the chat box and we'll also be addressing it in a short while. You heard the question. Old Testament says no earrings. New Testament apparently says earrings are available or should be worn, can be worn. Why are we sticking to the old stuff when there's new stuff on the table?
Okay, that's a beautiful question. That's a beautiful question. Are you getting me?
Yes, loud and clear, ma'am.
Okay, so the question we're having is, why are we sticking to the older stuff?
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say initially that as we are having this topic, I think it's quite important for us to appreciate the fact that God cares about what we wear.
Okay.
He cares about what we wear, and that the topic was that.
Shepherdess, we're losing you a bit there. Your network is. Oh, I'm not too sure what we can do there. Sister Namushi, we are missing your words at the moment. I don't know if you mind moving around a bit. We didn't capture the last parts there. Apologies for that. It seems Sister Namushi apparently, let me just make it clear. She had said that they are battling power cuts in the area that she is in Zambia. So that's why, number one, she's not having a video on, as well as we are hearing there's intermittent breaks in her broadcast. The apologies for that. Pastor M, do you want to maybe try that? Old Testament versus New Testament upon jewelry?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the word of God, what we must remember is that it is constant. Okay.
Okay.
That's the first thing. So the Bible, somebody can say, well, the Ten Commandments are only in Exodus. They are not in the New Testament. But in the New Testament, you'll find that it appears many times in many verses in the Gospels. It's there. So we therefore cannot say, well, this is only in the Old Testament, it doesn't apply in the New Testament. For instance, yes, you are right. The Exodus issue, when they're talking about the jewelry, God says, you know, remove your ornaments, you know, so that I can see what I'm going to do with you. Because God wanted them to remove everything that is a stumbling block to reach him. All right.
Okay.
Now, when we go in the New Testament, actually, Peter does mention in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, and I'm going to read it. It says, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. And we see that Timothy also addresses it in 1 Timothy 2, verse 9 and 10. It says, in like manner, women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamelessness and sobriety, not with braided hair, and gold or pearls or costly raiment, but which becometh women professing godliness through good works. So it is there. I've given you just the two verses that God does addresses that, you know, when you come to me, do not adorn yourselves. Come to me as you are, all right?
Okay.
So that you can worship. And somebody can argue and say, well, there's the parable of the lost son. When he came, his father put on a golden ring. Remember, that's a parable. It doesn't mean that it's a story, okay? And of course, God, I mean, if you like gold and jewelry, don't worry. In heaven, God is going to give us the crowns, remember? Yeah, but for now, when you want to worship God in truth and in spirit, those things have got to stay behind. They have to.
Maybe before I get back to Lebo, Mfundisi, I love the way you bring across this synergy that is there, this thread that the Old and the New Testament work together. It's not the old versus the new, or the old or the new. It's both of them are important in God's word. Now, the question that then comes is, especially the scripture that you gave us on how God speaks and says, let them take away these things so that I can at least get to see them, because these things are kind of blinding me from seeing their actual character. And then you bring across a sense of worship. Is this then meaning that we can wear in a certain manner away from a church or away from a worship environment? I mean, even today we've got different dresses, different clothes styles for different events. You know, when you're going to an evening event, you wear a certain way. When you're going to play sport, you will dress a certain way. And you're in an office and in a formal meeting, you know, they're different dresses. Is that what God is also saying here? That when you go to church, then you don't wear these things. But if you're on a Sunday going to the mall or something like that, it's okay to kind of dress in a different manner. Is that the lesson we should be drawing here?
You know what? When I used to work for AWR, mm-hmm. my boss was Pastor Misiani.
Okay.
Pastor Misiani, I worked with him during the week and even on Sabbath. I would worship with him.
All right.
And one lesson that I learned from him is that what you are during the week, you should be on Sabbath.
Mm.
So you cannot be two different characters. On Sabbath, you are someone else. During the week, you are someone else. Meaning to say, you cannot start being holy from Friday night and get rid of everything. You are on in Sabbath apparel in everything holy. Mm-hmm. But during the week, you are like, oh, yeah, no, you forget everything. You dress however you want. You do however you want. You understand? We cannot be two people.
Yeah.
You have to be consistent.
Certainly.
And I think that is what God wants us to do. Mm. When someone sees you in the street, they must still say, but this is a child of God.
Mm.
At no time should anyone ever doubt that this is one of us when they are not a Christian. They should never ever say, okay, let me give you another example. The other community, let me maybe not mention which one.
Okay.
But there are women, they wear the clothes and they cover themselves, the whole attire, the whole body.
All right.
They don't dress differently during the week and differently when they go to church. You understand what my point is? Mm. So therefore, we cannot say we're going to get rid of all these things during Sabbath worship. But during the week, oh, God, let's go back
we
to normal.
We are inside.
But on Sabbath, we're going to be holy. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Otherwise, that we are living a double standard. And that's exactly what God does not want. God
Certainly.
Wants us either be cold or be hot.
Yeah.
Don't be lukewarm. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, profound. Don't be lukewarm. Choose a side, like Joshua said. If it's God's side, then be there fully. If it's the other side, then be okay. Lebo, I don't know. Had the friends given you a response as to which verses in the New Testament apparently speak to now you can wear earrings? Because according to the pastor in the verses is quoted, it seems like the same message is carrying on from the Old Testament.
Yes, I hear that. I've actually heard of the second verse that she read. I think it's Timothy 2:9-10.
Yeah.
But I think in my head it was the people like Timothy and I think it was John that you mentioned.
The second Peter,
Exodus, mm-hmm. not exactly like in the book of Exodus. So I maybe thought that maybe they are repeating what God is saying, but it's not really said in the New Testament. It's not really,
I get you. I get you. Thankfully that the pastor has cleared that up. And you can go then to your friends and say, hey, guys, here are the verses the pastor has said. And better yet, this recording will be available permanently now on our YouTube page. Visit the channel, SID Media, the SID Media, and you'll be able to just say, guys, here's a link. Go watch what the pastor said. Go watch what the pastor says. Quickly, let's hear from you. What would be the questions that you've been grappling with and battling with in terms of when you hear these matters of dress reform? Perhaps you yourself have questions, or maybe your friends have asked you questions regarding the way people ought to dress, especially Christians, perhaps even as you're an Adventist.
My question is, the way that you dress at church, does it apply to the way that you dress in public? Like, from the way that you dress at church, mm-hmm. like, is it, must it be like different from the way that you dress in public?
I like that. And I think Mfundisi, maybe answer this as well in an conservative African perspective. For example, my local church, we are not keen. We have never had it said out loud. We've never seen it happen. But we're not keen on women coming to church in pants. Especially on the Sabbath day. But come Sunday or come sometimes even week of prayer, people come rocking those pants and they come for other activities, or you see them during the week. In fact, that Sabbath night you visit their house, they are in pants. Does it matter? And like Kiluka is saying, is it supposed to be this and that? Or does it matter what we're wearing? And should you differentiate?
Yeah, thank you for that question. And I appreciate it so much. Actually, when you look in the Bible and you search the word pants, it's not actually there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can start from Genesis to Revelation. It doesn't say pants. Usually The verse that is used is that one in Deuteronomy 22, ne? Where it says, a man should not wear what pertains to a woman.
Okay, okay. Ooh, the pastor's
first
line
of
just
all,
dropped.
Now we have,
okay.
Okay, am I back?
You're back, Mfundis, you may continue.
Yeah. Yes, so the verse, like I was saying, the word pants is not there in the Bible. It just says, a man must not wear what pertains to a woman, and a woman must not wear what pertains to a man. All right, let's start there. Because usually that verse, everyone will say, no, it's pants. No, but I have a problem if it's pants. What about shirts? Okay. What about boots? What about caps? Why are we just taking just that one item and saying, this is the item that's got a problem? Now, I'm going to elaborate on that, right?
Maybe, Mfundisi, before now, you elaborate, like just to mention as well that actually this verse, when it was written, both men and women were not wearing any pants.
Exactly. Yeah.
But please do elaborate for us.
Yes, and in some countries, the men wear skirts, like the Scottish, you'll see men wearing skirts.
Men from Fiji.
You know? And even in some of the Maasai countries, the men actually still wear robes.
Yeah.
Even in South Africa, in certain religions, you'll see men wearing those robes up to the feet and things like that.
Yeah.
Now I want to explain something.
Okay.
Like I was saying, the pants, the people that design our fashion are not Christian. That's what we must remember. That's why one of them said, firstly, I will make a man wear pink. If you can remember well, men never wore pink at any time. But as time went by, we saw men suddenly wear a pink shirt, a pink tie, and it was accepted. All right.
Okay.
That's the first thing. And the second thing, I know, right? Then the second thing is this. To be honest, again, I'm going to say it as the Lord has placed it. When you are a woman and you are wearing pants, the pants, they outline you as you are. You understand? Now we have a problem now, because women now are sexualized and say they are sexualized. Yeah, let me say it like that. They are sexualized and made into sexual objects. So when a man is looking at you, now your private parts are not private, because you can actually see if you take a good look. Sometimes, you know, it's like, you know, there was the nude pants. I don't know if you remember, there was an era of nude pants.
Yes,
where you
were
wearing
like the body.
Pants and their skin color. If somebody looks and you are far, they will think that you are actually naked, right?
Yeah.
Yes. And then there was an era of stockings where women were just wearing stockings without anything covering them. So all these things, it's a test run to see, okay, who's going to accept? And people just fall into it, they accept it, and they move on. And then there was the era of tights. When I was growing up, there was the era of tights, where you wore tights, but with a long T-shirt.
Okay.
Then later on, it changed. Now it's just tights and a crop top. How?
The T-shirt fell away.
So in other words, they are making us more and more naked. More and more naked as women. Then later came the low-cut jeans. I don't know if you remember the low-cut jeans.
Okay.
That you can actually see your I want to be careful how I put it. But
please, Mfundisi, we are live on air. We are live on air, Pastor Bruno.
Yeah, I gotta be careful. No, they are low, you know. And when you are bending, things are happening. So that is the first thing we must remember.
Mm-hmm.
So when we look, now going back to trying to answer Kweluka.
Okay.
Is that Ellen White, when you look at what she speaks up, when she speaks about dress reform and the dress and the pants, she says that you can wear the pants, right? Especially they must cover up to your ankles.
Okay.
But with that, wear a dress on top. That way you are protected. No one sees you as you are. Your private parts are private. Okay. So over the years,
right.
You know, it's sort of like become acceptable and people just wear it like that. But the truth of the matter is, if you want to cover yourself and be modest, wear those pants, but with a dress on top, then you are safe. That's what I can say. So again, to further state my point, there are things that we must understand, the atmospheres that we are in. For instance, if you go to the gym, myself, even though I wore the tights, but I wore a very long T-shirt over those tights.
Okay.
I'm at the gym, you understand? But I'm still covered. I made sure of it. All right. And then if maybe you are swimming, you can wear your swimsuit, but over the swimsuit, wear a very long T-shirt that's maybe up to your knee. You understand? So that way, you are covering yourself. Because remember, like I said, all the designs of the clothes that are in the shops are designed by people that are not Christian.
They are not gender is
so where now you've got to cover yourself. Even if you are wearing pants at home, your pants, you must make sure you wear with a very long top. That is what Ellen White is advising us. So yes, that's my stance.
If I'm hearing you then, Mfundisi, it's not just the matter of the pants or the what. It's about covering the nakedness. And that, yes, that sense of your body outline must not be seen.
Exactly. And again, we can even argue with the skirts. Because, I mean, somebody can say, well, I wear skirts or a dress. But if you're going to wear a dress so tight, I think even that defeats the purpose.
Okay.
Because now Ellen White speaks about health and, you know, circulation of your blood, circulation of your body. So if you're wearing that tight dress with a tight corset, health-wise, it's not good.
You're murdering
so
yourself.
Even the dress, your dress must not be at body hugging. I think it's a proper term. Body hugging, that is so tight, you can see the byways and the highways and your curves, everything. And I know we like to show we have curves, and I understand that. I'm a woman, you know? But even the high heels, the high heels are designed in such a way that your bust is out and your bum is out. I don't know if we know it or not, but that is how it's. The person who designed it, he says, I want women, when they walk, bust must be out and then back must be out, so that we can see her properly. You understand? Yeah. So we gotta be careful when we look into these things. And if we wanna truly, go back to God, we should always ask Him. Because somebody can say, well, you can wear a long dress, but show a little cleavage. You understand? Then you look classy.
For that femininity.
Yeah, they say you look like show a little bit of cleavage. But I say tonight, no, let's not do that. Cover everything. In fact, Ellen White says, cover your limbs up to the ankles. Everything must be covered. Everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay, then. It's 17 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock right here on The Bible Perspective. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be opening up the lines in just a few. I know my listeners are dying to add to the conversation. Let me just finish off then. Kwiluka, I hope you're sorted. We're going to do the last hand, or rather the last guest we've got this evening, which is Thubelisha. She hasn't added her thoughts to the conversation before we then come back around. But after that, we then will come first to take comments and questions from our listeners. Thubelisha, I'm sure that you've got something to add to the conversation. I think there's a lot to chew on that has been said so far. Maybe share your thoughts, or perhaps if you've got questions, you can also bring it up at this point.
Ooh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I just want to start off by saying it's so beautiful to have the young ones being inquisitive.
True.
And sometimes as a church, we feel threatened when young people ask questions. But it's better for them to ask questions. And if they go wrong, you know you have answered them. They just chose not to.
Yeah.
Because that is the kind of environment that God created for us. Free will. God never hid the tree of good and evil. You know, he instructed Adam. He told him, don't touch it.
Okay.
If you touch it, this is what is going to happen. And what we are doing sometimes as a church, we say, that is wrong. But we don't explain what happens. We don't, you know, so it's hard for me to take on something that you're saying I mustn't do, but you're not telling me why not?
Yeah.
I should not do it. So I really, really appreciate those questions and the responses that Upasta has been giving us. So I'm going to share from a perspective of somebody who came into the church, and a friend who was not Adventist said, you know what, Tube, I really love this church, but there's just one thing that I don't get, because everything about the Adventist community is different.
Okay.
You guys eat differently, you sing differently, everything that you do is so sacred and unique, but there's one thing that is the same like everyone else, and that is dress. That stuck with me so much. And I was like, whoa, this is a non-Adventist who is coming to the space, and she says, I don't think I'm ready to pursue this church yet, because there is one aspect that the church is still in denial of. Young people don't want to talk about it. The church does not want to talk about it. And we made it our everyday goal to sit down and study modesty.
Yeah.
And yeah. I wanted to make sure that when I have the when I practice it, I have the thorough understanding of what it is, because I'm going to be the one buying the clothes, and I don't want to buy something and 6 months down the line, I'm no longer wearing it.
True.
And I do not want to be influencing young people on something that I'm not convicted of. In the next 3 months, my mind is changed. So I'm going to share this in a way that I hope somebody who has never read the Bible can understand, because that's my goal.
Okay.
Even through God and Growth, the idea is to present it in a way that even a 10-year-old can understand what you're saying,
should
they decide to take it up, right?
All right.
So in the book of 1 Timothy 2, verse 9 to 10, the one that the pastor quoted there, I'm going to read it again. It says, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we can talk about all the other things on another day. Today, I simply want to focus on that part. Obviously, it continues to say with shamefacedness, sobriety, not with broidered hair, gold pearls, like Upasta also mentioned.
Yeah.
So we want to understand, what does the word modest apparel mean? Because that's the question. You are saying we must wear modestly. What is it? Because there is no point in any way in the Bible where it says modest means this, you know?
Yes. Yes.
But if you take time to then find out what are the original words that were used translating from the Greek to English. So the word apparel is katastol, right? Katastol is divided into two sections. You have the word kata, you have the word stole, right? And kata means to let down, literally.
Okay.
Let down.
Okay.
So from that definition alone, you get to understand that whatever I'm wearing cannot be tight, right? And then you have the word stole.
Hmm.
The word stole means long. So kata stole simply means a long let down garment. That's
okay.
What it means.
Okay.
Right? And then you have the word modest, because the remember the text says adorn yourself with modest apparel.
Yeah.
Right? So now we understand that this apparel is a long let down garment, which we're going to get into, because we're gonna argue a lot about what does long mean.
Yeah, how long is long?
How long is long?
Yeah.
Right? And then, so the word modest means a well-arranged or decent or harmonious arrangement, basically. Great arrangement or harmonious arrangement. Now, before I get into the whole long thing, what I want us to get from there is that, somebody's playing something. Okay. What I want us to get from there is that when God gave the instruction of modesty, or let me even say of clothing, it was for two reasons. Number one, for it to give glory to God, and the second one, for beauty.
Okay.
We find that instruction communicated in the book of Exodus chapter 28 verse 2, when God gives the instruction to Aaron and the priest. He says, and thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron, thy brother, for glory and for beauty. Right? So, first reason, why am I dressing this way I'm dressing? If you want to find out why should I do dress reform, why am I dressing the way that I'm dressing? The first reason is I need to glorify God. When people look at me, they need to see God. They must not see my boob. I'm going to say it as it is, because I'm talking to young people here. They must not see my nakedness. They must not think it's time for them to sleep with me.
Okay, I was about to mute.
Me.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. They must not think, oh, let's get into the bedroom. They must think God. That's what they must think, right? And then the second reason says for beauty. This shows you that God wants us to be attractive. You mustn't just be haphazard. And I'm trying to connect Exodus 28 verse 4 together with 1 Timothy 2 verse 9.
Okay.
Remember what it says. It says that woman must adorn yourself. to adorn yourself is to make yourself beautiful, right? And mm-hmm. modest, mm-hmm. when we translated the word modest, it says well arranged. What does that mean? Huh. When you are dressing, your clothes must be put together. Just like Umama mentioned earlier, your fabrics are important. The colors that you put together are important. And you see all of that in the book of Exodus. God was very strict. He was so strict, just like when he was giving instruction to the ark. He told them what measurements they should use for the clothing. He told them what colors they should use for the clothing, what fabrics they should use for the clothing. Right? So that's the, I think that's the most, that's like the first thing that I wanted us to get.
But in terms of maybe to just jump in there, You mentioned this, and it's a beautiful passage you read, and thank you so much for the expose on the meaning of these words, as so that we can have a better understanding on how to apply it. I'm seeing the comments already coming in. People are saying, yeah, it's relative, you know. But here's my, maybe someone would ask a question, maybe just as you come back and wrap up on your point, to say, you speak on Aaron having clothes and his team, having clothes that are for glory and for beauty. But that's specific to Aaron and his team. God doesn't say now to speak to the children of Israel that when they dress now, they must wear clothes for beauty and for glory. It's only the people worshiping, the people, in fact, not even just worshiping. People who come to worship were not told what to wear. It's the people serving in the temple. Aaron and his team were the Levites, the priests, the people serving in the temple. What would your response be to someone who says, but yeah, no, I hear you. Very beautiful passage, but that's just for pastors. Mom Marx is the one who should be dressing like that. Not Quiluka, not Rosetta. They can dress however they want because they are not serving in the temple. They are there just to worship. And we don't have any restriction or guidance except for the long, loose-fitting, orderly apparel, like you're saying.
That is such a great question.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to first say, you know, it is important that every time you read the Bible, you ask the Lord to convict you. In the sense,
okay,
that when you have already when you have already concluded about something, regardless of how clear certain things are, you are not going to be able to receive them, right? So this is, these are the parts where you say, have I been convicted? What's my personal conviction? What did I understand God explaining to me? So this is how I would answer it to somebody that says that to me.
Okay.
For me, I serve. I am a minister. So I do not separate myself from those that are simply coming to the church, because I don't simply come to the church. I serve God. I go out there and I preach the word of God, whether I am a church or I'm not a church. We are told that we are a chosen generation, a peculiar people. And why do we claim that verse? Yeah. Because that verse is actually speaking about the Israelites. It's not speaking about us. If you were to read that verse, it's saying you're a chosen generation. Those were the people that were chosen by God. And when you read that verse, it says, you are a chosen generation, a peculiar people, a royal priesthood.
Yep.
Why are you in that position? It says to bring those that are out into his marvelous light. God says, I have chosen you as this generation. I have made you a holy nation. Mm-hmm. I have made you a peculiar people, a royal priesthood for one purpose, to serve me. To take those that are outside and bring them in the fold.
Yeah.
So I cannot dress differently from a pastor because we both do the same work.
You're ministering.
The difference is that I didn't study theology. We both have the responsibility of ministering to other people. That's number one. Number two, somebody can ask themselves this question. Why was it important? If dress is not important, why did God feel it's important for people who are serving to dress a certain way? Why did he take his time to tell us that? If it didn't matter at all, yes, we might not hear about the worshipers themselves, but those who were actually working in the temple and had such great responsibility, which I believe that if you're a true Christian,
you should have
we must
that.
All all carry the burden of saving souls, right?
Certainly.
So yeah, why would they? Yeah.
Alrighty. No, I think I like that. And I think that's a very beautiful way to raise it, to say, actually, in today's day, we are all ministers, right? We are all co-laborers, Corinthians would say, with Jehovah. Thank you so much for that. It's just gone 7:30, 7 o'clock. We are left with 30 minutes for the show. And I hope that we'll be able to cover the second round of hands. At this point in time, I want to open up the lines to our listeners. I'm going to start off by addressing the comments that have come through on our WhatsApp line and on our chat, on our Facebook chat and YouTube chat. Box. But you too, my dear friend, are welcome to also share your thoughts, your comments as we study together God's Word this evening.
Do you have questions from the Bible? Join us on Bible Perspective every Friday at 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. as we search for the answers.
Alrighty then, you're still tuned into the Bible Perspective right here on Adventist World Radio. My name is Derek Virire. I'm currently in conversation with a group of beautiful ladies joining us this evening, talking matters of dress reform and decorum, right? And we're joined by, starting from the young ones, we've got Lebo Mangwaela, we've got Kwiluka Mwila. We also are joined on the line by, I don't know if we should call her a resident, because she's always often so here. We've got Rosetta Mpofu also coming through. We're also joined by Thubelihle Madunuma, together with our pastor guiding us today, Mfundisi Bonolo Marx. Thank you so much once again, ladies, for joining us. To you, our guests, our listeners, you can text us, +27 73 470 3520. And I'm going to address some questions, some comments that came through on our WhatsApp line. We've got these that have come through. okay, I see they're already calling. Okay. Just hang on for me, caller. I will address you just in a second. So these are the questions that came through, or the comments rather. Gotua, why is dress reform always addressed at women? Hi, man. They're upset, the listeners. They're like, why are you guys always targeting us as women and punching us up with this? And maybe Mfundisi, you can just come a bit to comment. But I think maybe from the presenter side, we are the ones who brought the topic. We said we're going to start with the women. I know we also need to address the men, and we will come. I promise you, we're not just hammering on the ladies. But I think there must be a reason as well. It reminds me of that question that always comes. Why is it that stewardship is always addressing money? Sometimes it's because that's the one you struggle with the most. Okay, we also have comments that came through. This one is a question for you, Mfundisi. But the pastor keeps saying those who design are not Christian. How does she know? Or is she saying they are not Adventist? I think the question would still stand. How does she know? So Mfundisi, they're wanting your source to these designers of these clothes. Hey, there's a couple of questions for you, Mfundisi. Another one. What is it? Why is it the only Africans having a problem with dress reform? People even attend the GC session in pants, for crying out loud. But I think the pastor made mention of the issue of pants, to say that pants is not the problem. It's how you dress it. And even if they are doing it in the GC in prayer rooms, that doesn't mean it's right. It can still be wrong, even if it's done by the president of the general conference, right? It can still be wrong. But hey, the pastor will address in just a few. The question is for you, Mfundisi. Another one. What's wrong with makeup, though? I think, pastor, I wanted to say, Mfundisi, please don't touch makeup. We already have a mountain on our hands with the dress. Now you're bringing makeup. Oh, and here it is that listeners are saying, why is the pastor, this is Charmaine, why is the pastor addressing makeup? What's wrong with it? I mean, God inspired the people to be creative. Why don't you let them be creative? Right? Let the people, please, Mfundisi, but let the people. Then again, modesty. According to whose standard do you measure modesty? And I think, Tube, thank you so much for that expose coming into what actually is the scripture saying about what modesty is all about. And then go to Aranama color scheme. Who chooses the color scheme? But color blocking and whatnot. And no, this color is not good enough because you're now attracting us, or you're spandla, and all those things. They want to know who said these things, Mfundisi. And I think this one was also addressed at Tube. Who said only females can wear pink, right? I think, Mfundisi, you're mentioning that, but Namalanga, real men wear pink, apparently, Pastor. And apparently, nakedness is relative, this nude color. Hey, yeah, this listener is fighting today. Yeah, and thank you so much for those comments. I think we need them because that's the real feel of the people out there, right? And then another one, God didn't say anything about circulation. We don't hear in the Bible that he says, don't dress like this because you'll stop circulation. Ellen White, Lorna, she lived in the 1800s. She had other issues that were challenging her circulation. Now, suddenly, in 2024, we must be bothered. We can always get oxygen if we struggle with circulation, apparently, Mfundisi. So that's a question saying it doesn't fit in our narrative today. God didn't say anything about circulation. I wanted to make this comment about the friend that was made, but I think I will reserve that one. Apologies, presenter's privilege. Hey, this one is too inflammatory. And then this question, which I think, Mfundisi, we would need to touch on this one. Please make note of this one. The question says, why are we as ladies responsible for people's dirty minds? Why should we now be dressing for men? I mean, can't we just dress for ourselves? And they must take care of themselves. They have got their own salvation and their own mind to deal with. So they want to be making sure that you men must be responsible for their own eyes. God is not bothered, they say. Why are men seeing tight pants and funny prints? We don't. When we see when women see men in tight pants with funny prints and things sticking in places, they don't think bedroom. Why is it now they must dress to suit men and to make sure that men don't think bedroom? So those are the questions coming through from the one listener. We also have Linda here also making a comment, and she's dying to phone. You can call Linda. We'll take your call as well. We've got here, she makes mention of a couple of things in Fundis, and some of them I'm going to mention from right at the beginning. The Amish, you mentioned the Amish people who make their own clothes and choose certain things based on how it responds to their bodies. She says the Amish and the Mennonites don't mess about. It's cotton or nothing, because they understand cotton has the ability to also regulate, I think the pastor was mentioning linen, to regulate the body temperature, with which leather and lace cannot, right? Leather will not, in fact, it will facilitate overheating. Unequal temperatures on the body is the worst you could do for your body, especially as a woman, right? Because of the body makeup. And then she then adds, which I found to be quite a profound point, how easy is it to design a modest dress in lace, right? I mean, everything is see-through. So that's another point that she was just supporting what the pastor was bringing across there. Like, let's be practical. That material is only palatable in certain styles, and mostly the design has to be form-fitted, right? If you're a gifted woman, like some of us, we draw a provocative picture with that. Right. And then there's also another point that came through. We also must not forget we are living in the eschatological day of atonement. Right. If we paid careful study to how they behaved in that day of atonement, as in the scripture, the sanctuary message, we'd realize the Old Testament spoke of the New Testament for the New Testament for ages until Jesus come. So she's just saying, let's be careful. We are living in a day where our dress must reflect the time that we are living in. And then she also mentions regarding the swimwear, you were mentioning how you can wear something over the gym clothes and stuff. She says here, there's modest swim and gym wear now. The options are available. So if you really want to be modest, you want to be making sure your body is kept safe and you're representing God and dressing for His glory and all that, there are options available that you can still go to gym and still be dressing for the gym, but yet you're modest. We just don't like being different, apparently, is our challenge. So that's the comments that came through. We've got a caller. Unfortunately, I'm going to then limit you to about 2 minutes to share your thoughts, your comments with us. Good evening to you and welcome. Maybe identify yourself and let us know where you're calling from. Oh, ulelu caller, Shem. We're all right in yourself.
I'm fine. I'm calling from Thailand. It's past midnight.
Oh, anyway. For Bible perspective with Thailand listeners.
No, I wanted to say that, you know, as the church, I think we are in a way wasting our time debating dress reform and wanting to address dress reform.
Okay.
What we should be teaching, in fact, is respect. self-respect, okay, and all of those things. Mm-hmm. Because the moment we say we want to address dress reform, that is where the pushback comes in. Because we aren't able, I say this in quotes,
okay,
we aren't able to articulate the issues of dress reform properly. As you can see from the comments we are reading, we're already saying, Haibo, why should we care about people's minds? Mm-hmm. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. Because it comes from that. But if I'm taught as a girl child to respect my body, to respect everything that we are saying must be covered, the nakedness, mm-hmm, and everything else, and the boy child is also taught about those things, we wouldn't have a problem of two girl children coming to church in 3 centimeter skirts. We, okay, wouldn't have a problem with boys coming to church with their funny prints down there. Okay. You understand? We know what I'm talking about.
No, we
wouldn't be,
okay,
having that if we're teaching that. I win. But the problem we're having is that we want to say dress reform. We are discussing dress reform and everything else. Mm-hmm. And then you get, now we're in quotes, our mama badala coming to tell us about laces, telling us about shortness and everything else. But you did not teach me about how to respect my body. I remember when I was.
But we don't have Mama Badala, listener. Sorry, listener. We've got Pastor Marx, who is quite a young pastor, if you would ask me. She's not Umama Omdala. No, we are talking about here. Here is, we are addressing dress reform in this panel.
Mm-hmm. Wait, yes.
Okay.
I remember when I was going to high school, there was an era where the skirts were all above the knee, right? My mom set me down. She's like, if you wear a short skirt, you're not going to get a husband. Like, you're not going to get a husband by the mere fact that you're wearing a short skirt.
Okay.
So my skirt, yes, my skirt was always above, sorry, below the knee, right? And it was, I felt like I was the oddest person over there. She taught me that at that, mm-hmm, age. So meaning that I was not tempted to wear short things to school.
Because you're taught
but
to
now,
respect
because we're
your
no
body.
Longer teaching that.
Okay.
Do you understand? We are no longer teaching that. That's why even at schools, this is not about church. And I like how what Lebu said earlier. Even at schools, you are seeing these girls, they can't even bear to pick up the pen. You understand? Mm. So for me, it's let's teach self-respect. Let's teach our girl children, our boy children about respect. Leave this whole thing about modesty and dress reform, because we're gonna now start questioning you.
Okay.
Right. Ellen White was there. She was not here.
She was there, not here. I like that. Thank you so much, caller.
But yes, thank you. Bye-bye.
Appreciate you. Don't go to sleep. Wait for the response. The pastor is going to speak to you just now. Thank you so much. That's Zanele coming through all the way from Thailand, tuning in to the Bible Perspective. It's past midnight and she's tuned in. Hey, yeah, thank you so much. Really appreciate that. Okay, that's the caller that came through there, Mfundisi. Okay, we have another caller coming in. Okay, let's quickly maybe address that. Pastor, I know you've got a stack now that you must come back with for now, but we have another caller coming through. Maybe, caller, good evening to you. Welcome, address, and to the Bible Perspective. Maybe introduce yourself and let us know where you're calling us from.
Hi, Mr. Host. It's Linda. European listener. That's where I'm calling from.
Thank you so much, Linda. Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say my point of departure will be that, firstly, to a certain extent, I agree that when we speak dress reform,
okay,
perhaps the point of departure would be, firstly, to address and to maybe cement ourselves in the fact that we ought to be discussing this as people who are doing this for God.
Okay.
Right? Okay. It's all about God. It's not about how I feel or why I should care what Derek thinks. Or it's about my relationship with God.
Okay.
And so if I love Jesus that much, I should be able to accept counsel as I find it in the Bible, because I want to please my God, you know?
Okay.
Secondly, I not necessarily because I don't have feet to stand on my own.
Mm-hmm.
No, because the same God who commanded me to keep the Sabbath says, love thy neighbor as you love yourself. Why would I then want to be found in a position where I am putting my neighbor in a situation of compromise, or I am putting them in a situation that leads them to self-destruction, right?
Okay, okay.
Because the same God who said, thou shalt not steal, says, love your neighbor, right? So I don't want to lie to you. I have a serious problem with these people that will come and say, why should I care about what men think? Well, you should care about them because God said, love your neighbor. Mm. That's the point of departure. So the problem is not that you don't want to care about the next person. The problem is you don't want to obey God when he says love, because love involves sacrifice. Love involves paying respect to God through his commandments. And if we understand that the same God who said, hallow my Sabbaths, is the same one who says, love your neighbor, is the same one who says, you are your brother's keeper, right? The rest of this other stuff, yes, it may be difficult to accept, but when you depart from a point of saying, I want to hear this and hear how I can please God more, how I can glorify God more. Yeah. And I like what Utube said. We like this thing of saying, hey, we are a chosen generation only when we want, you know, to claim riches. Hey, Yasmin, the next year I should be driving a Maserati. What? Pella, I am a chosen generation, a royal priest. If you're going to take one, take the rest. If you're a royal priesthood, you ought to be serving. And if you're going to be serving, best believe you got to be dressed like Aaron or throw the rest away, you know? And I was also going to address the part that says Ellen White was talking about blood circulation, blah, blah. It was in the 1800s. The same people, the same Bible says, for the life is in the blood. And I'm like, unless, of course, if you switch off that verse and eat him and jay by Bedini, your life is in your blood. Nanamhlanje. How many people have been struggling with health issues from these corsets that women are wearing simply because they want, you know, a tiny waist and a thick bottom? People have been going to the hospital because they are putting on corsets. It's unnatural for the body. Ellen White lived in the 1800s, but even then there were corsets. You want to tell me now that blood circulation was a problem then and it's not a problem now? How many people are struggling with, you know, blood oxygen right now? Just right now, blood oxygen. The rest of us don't even know we're struggling with these things because we never even care to find out until it's too late. And then you're on the deathbed. Now you want us to come and pray for you. God, we were telling you, Mzalwane, this is what the Bible is saying. You know, makeup. Guys, we speak about Jezebel all the time. One of the things that the Bible says about Jezebel is that before she committed a wicked act, she went and painted herself.
Okay. Thank you, European listener.
What does that symbolize? What does it symbolize? Talk about the pores on your skin. People who are non-Adventists are coming out to say, stop using these cosmetics. Use natural things because the pores on your skin needs to breathe. Now you're there putting on layers upon layers of foundation and primer and what don't
clearly we need to bring this makeup conversation again, but thank you so much, Linda, for joining the conversation and for sharing this your thoughts this evening. I truly appreciate you.
Bye. Thank you.
Okay then. Yeah quite a mouthful. I've got 12 minutes to go before we have to close off our conversation this evening. Mfundisi, before I give it to you, let's maybe take one last round from our guests, our other joining us this evening on the panel, and hear what their thoughts are and maybe if they've got any final comments, any final questions, and then Pastor, you then wrap up everything, answer our listeners, answer the questions they raised on the WhatsApp line, and on the I'm going to speak again on the one that came before on the chat box, and then if there's anything, you then just sum it up for us and conclude. Maybe let's start with the youngest. I don't know what happened to Kwiluka. She vanished. Lebo, are you there? Yes, there we go. Maybe you can unmute then. Maybe you heard the conversation, you heard the comments that came through, be it from the pastor, the other people on the panel, and from the listeners, the calls, the messages they sent through. What's your take on dress reform? Would you say you have a mind to do something in a certain regard or something in a different regard? What would be your conclusion on what you've learned today?
My conclusion on what I've learned today is that I need to learn that our bodies are the temple of God, and we should dress properly for church, mm-hmm. and that with what the pastor, I forgot her name, but with what the pastor mm-hmm. said, especially regarding to my question, I really now have a good understanding, and I now learned that the issue is not about, for example, like she mentioned, wearing the pants or one so and so, but it's how we dress,
yeah.
and how ourselves out there.
Indeed.
Yes.
I like that. I like
yes.
that. It's about how we present ourselves, especially for God. Thank you so much for that, Levo. Rosie, what's your take? I obviously, the first one is we definitely need another round. But based on today's conversation.
Say that I am walking out of here uh-huh. with feet right where they were when I first
came. Aibo.
Much more. I think I'm walking out with even more fences. I've added rather than chose a side. I
okay.
think there is a great need to go into the detail of things, because at the end of the day, it's the little things that make the bigger things. So I hear what everybody is saying. I hear it and understand it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, God, people, I can come and say, I for example, I give you an example of myself. I wear makeup.
Okay. Okay.
Right. And mine is also a dermatological issue. Mine is an instruction from a dermatologist to wear makeup. Luckily for me, I've got a recommendation for makeup that doesn't affect my pores. But you see now, this sounds like I'm justifying why.
You're defending your position, yeah.
Yes, and because it works, if I don't wear it, my skin's going to react. I can't be in the sun. So now I'm going to, how do I glorify God? You know?
Okay, let's leave the makeup one. Let's talk about the dress one. Makeup is a buya si kul megal. Leave that one. Come to the dress. On the dress side, are you still on the fence?
but my point is, there's a lot of the things that we really need to get into. I could do something. I always say you can't address something if you don't know that it's not mm-hmm. like you can't make something right that you don't know is wrong. I mm-hmm. could wear a skirt that's on, and then I say it's okay, I'm glorifying God.
Okay.
But Ellen White says thing that is on the knees, and actually I think Ellen White says on the knees is short.
Okay.
I heard that someone, I can't quote exactly where, but she says anything on the knees and going up is short. And I'm here saying it's on the knees, it's glorifying God. So I think it's important that we look into the details, the finer details. And I get people like, oh, but.
Yeah.
But it's important, especially for what Utsube said earlier, that mostly it's for these ones that are growing up. We at least have a position and we know. But to guide those who are growing up, some people don't even have the privilege to know these
True.
Things from their households.
True.
And we have them in the church. And they've got, yes, maybe parents that are Adventists, but they don't have this. So I think it's important that every detail be addressed when the chance is given. So definitely we need to do another one, because I've got a whole lot more questions I can't ask because of time. But yeah.
I hear you. Finally. So you need a point two of a 2.0 version of this discussion, basically. Because you feel like there's...
Excuse me?
I'm saying you need a 2.0 version of the conversation, because there's many points that you feel like we need to really come and really understand the context thereof, and not just come and hammer at these high heating points. I like that. And fair enough, we definitely will make time to come again. Thanks, Rosetta. Thank you so much. Tube?
Hi, guys. Sorry, my network keeps cutting, so hence my video was off.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm getting from this is that we have a lot of questions,
mm-hmm.
and it's important, it's good that we have a lot of questions. But I'm also getting that as Adventists, and this has little to do with dress reform, it has everything to do with all other reforms like health reform or anything that we need to change.
Okay.
we put what we think and what we feel is right above and beyond God's order and instruction.
Mm.
Because, and we don't realize that that is just a natural reaction to God's law, because we are fleshly human beings and we can never, ever find joy through the flesh in honoring God.
Okay.
It's unnatural for us because we are naturally sinners. What does sin do? Sin separates you from God. So I think that's the first thing that you need to understand as a person. My mind is not opening up to me eating differently. My mind is not opening up to me taking care of money differently. My mind is not opening up to the idea of relationshiping correctly and courting correctly and dressing correctly, because naturally I'm a sinner and it feels good for me to pursue what I want. Now, when you have that understanding and you put it away and you say, God, my mind says, let me watch a movie right now instead of reading the Bible. My mind says, let me sleep around. My mind says, let me show off my body. And I'm being honest with that. Yeah. God is going to take that and help you and deal with it.
Okay.
But if you are here listening to things from a perspective of, but why? And then this and then that, it's good to have questions and it's good to be curious. But do not close your heart for the possibility of actually being converted. Because if you listen to the truth too much and you keep on having questions and like, but why this and by why that, there reaches a point where your heart is hardened. Because honestly, to a great extent, spiritual things will not fully make sense to a fleshly being while you're on this side. Right? So some of the things you will have to walk on them blindly
and take them by faith.
Because one person would say, what are you losing by covering your body than revealing your body? Would God have you get there and it's like, you didn't make it to heaven because you had your body covered? Logically, which one makes more sense? Right? That's something to think about.
No, thank you so much,
Toby. I just want to say this in my closure.
Okay.
The first person that gave instruction on modesty and clothing is God.
Okay.
It was not through Timothy. It was not God telling Aaron. It was God telling Adam and Eve. So when Adam and Eve had sinned, right? God comes to the garden and he says, Adam, where are you? Now, I want to talk about the heart issue. That's the first thing that God required of Adam. Adam, where are you? I want to know where you are. Where are you standing right now? And Adam says, I hid myself. Because that's what sin does, right?
Yeah.
Separates you from God. And he says, I have hid myself. And God says, how do you know? Like, he says, I've covered myself, I'm naked, and God says, how do you know that you are naked, right?
And unfortunately, I will have to then cut you off there because my time has fast spent, but I think it's a powerful point, and I hear the Amanda here saying, yeah, no, definitely, Tube has just wrapped up. In fact, Martini drops mic, right? You're done with the conversation there. Wonderful stuff. Mfundisi, I'm going to bring you back in to then maybe just wrap up the discussion for us to say, you heard the points, you had the comments, you had the question that came through from the listeners. I know that my time that I'm going to be giving you, less than 2 minutes I've got here, is not sufficient, but we will definitely come back, especially for some of those hard-hitting questions. But I loved how the callers came through, especially with Zanele pointing out how it should be about principle. It should be about God. And I think that's what Tube is also rehashing. It should be about God and the relationship that you have with him. And she points out something that's very profound. Is it a salvational matter that if we don't dress right, suddenly we won't make it to heaven? Maybe start from there, Pastor, and then maybe just encapsulate all the points that came through this evening.
Yeah. Yes, I'd appreciate the second session. I think it's important for us to dwell deeper.
Certainly.
I want to say, when we read in Romans, it tells us that we ought to give our lives and our bodies as living sacrifices, holy unto God and acceptable. Mm-hmm. So what we eat, how we dress, already everything that we do should be acceptable to God. All right.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to just end with this analogy. I know time is up. When you put a frog in boiling water, it will immediately jump out. But when you put the frog in cold water and, you know, gradually make the water to boil, it will be comfortable up until it actually dies in the water because it did not realize that that water is hot. What the media has done over the years is that bit by bit, the influencers and everything. I mean, look at a television series, how they do things, how they glamorize sin, how everything is just there. And it's okay in inverted commas.
Yeah.
That is what Satan has been doing. I mean, we don't even need to look far to see what the devil is doing. So you and I, we've got to make a conscious decision to say, you know what? We are going to choose to eat right. We are going to choose to dress differently.
Yeah.
And I want to just, I know my time is up, but I want to just mention something quickly. The designers, for instance, just take an example. The designers, especially the big people, the big names. I mean, look at their lifestyle. What does the Bible teach us? Nice. By their fruits, you will know them.
Yep.
And I mean, I'm not speaking, I never speak in vague, you know, in a vacuum. I've sat down and done proper research how everything is done.
Okay.
The devil is at work. Let's meet next time so that we delve deeper. And in the meantime, let us not be stiff-necked people. When God is speaking to us, we resist the spirit. Let us make sure that when we hear, when God speaks once, we hear twice.
Oh yes,
may God bless you.
I like that. In the meantime, Bazalwane, don't be stiff-necked people. Thank you so much, Pastor. Maybe before you come in to pray, I'm just going to maybe read the final comments. Apologies that we might not be able to address them now, but definitely we'll make another appointment and we will let you know ahead of time as to when the second installment of this conversation will be coming through. We had a comment coming through from Thokozile Masego saying here, it said, Hi, I am here, guys, and am ugogo. Kuyathusa indlela okugqoka ngayo Pastors and pastors' wives can use sweet red. Hey, okay. And the pastor said it reminds us of other lips there, but yane, guys, kubi endlini kaJehova kodwa umoya ongcwele uzozenzela umsebenzi wawo. Mfundisi, do not stop preaching the truth. But yeah, Pastor, you are. They want to sing that song. Yeah. I think it's Vocal Union. Brother Taylor, keep on preaching as you're telling us his word. Certainly, thank you so much for that, Sister Masego. Truly appreciate that. We also have a comment coming through from Rihopotswe Mabuya. They're saying here, I think self-respect and modesty are very subjective. Right, so there is no one size fits all, apparently, according to the listener. What I was taught about modesty differs from the next. Even if we bring the Bible into the chat, people's perspectives and interpretations are still okay. It got cut off there, but they sent something through. Are still different. So, whose version of modesty are we to follow? I think this should be one point that we really go deeper into, Tube Mfundisi, as we come back into the next conversation. Thank you so much, Sister Maboya, for that one there. Truly appreciate it. We also had another comment coming through, two comments, I think, actually, coming through from our WhatsApp line. We had at Tapelo _ Moloi SA saying here, I think we are conflating issues here. As is always in such discussions, we need to discuss and depart from a point of principle and application of principle. The Bible gives us the what principle and in most instances leaves application to context. That's why Deuteronomy provides principles and doesn't say pants or skirts. That's my brother Moloy's point right there. And we also had a comment coming through from Sister Amanda Kutsawa saying, Tube, amen. So clearly explained. So they loved that closing remark coming through from Tube. Best conclusion, they would say. A comment, okay, I think this one is for me. Okay, maybe let me bring it out. Speaking about Tube, but she is a sister's keeper, this girl. She stopped many of my posts on the social media. We need sisters like her who say, girl, heaven is a destination, right? This pseudo-feminism will run us to the gates of hell, right? And that's the comment coming through from our listeners. And I think it's something that we need to be touching on to say, what role then do we have? And I think one had mentioned that, a caller actually, to say sometimes you then find these old ladies saying, hey, when I'm done, covered up. You know, a visitor comes to the church there. You can see that this one is not a member of this church. But the first thing you do, take a shawl, run around and cover them. And they were like, okay, am I not fitting in this conversation? They won't come back tomorrow. Or, you know, please remove those things in your ears. Maybe we need to then address how do we become brothers keepers, sisters keepers in a proper way. But for today, let me just say to you, my dear guests, my dear panelists, thank you so much for taking out the time, Lebo, Rosetta, Tube. I think let's also thank the ones who are in absentia, Kwiluka, together with Sister Shepherdess Mutoya, and as well to you, Mfundiswami Pastor Marks. Truly appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for giving us a beautiful evening. Mfundisi, please pray for us as we wrap it up.
Let us pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, mighty God, indeed we are living in the last days. Satan is coming in forces and in attacks of all kinds. Help us when you speak to us that we can adhere to the Holy Spirit's promptings and do what is right. Indeed, you have called us to be different from everyone else, to be different from the world. But if we dress like them, and if we eat like them, and if we act like them, then we are truly not your children. Let it be known that we are called by your name. We are Christians, following you wherever you go. You say in the last days, these people that are going to be saved are going to be following the Lamb everywhere where he goes. So when we hear the things that we need to leave behind, help us not to resist, but to adhere to the promptings of the Holy Spirit and teach our children likewise to follow you in all aspects of our lives, so that we don't lose heaven over a simple thing like makeup, or lose heaven over a simple thing like things that we're not supposed to eat. In fact, help us to always, when you speak, we hear you twice. Be with everyone that's been listening, and be with all the speakers. And as we prepare for session two, help us, dear Jesus, to tell it as you will have told it, so that we can truly be transformed. We can truly be changed into the form of Christ Jesus. This is my humble prayer, but I anchor it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, guys. Truly appreciate it. Happy Sabbath to you.
Happy Sabbath. See you next time.
Thank you so much. And that's how we're then going to be wrapping it up right here on The Bible Perspective. Thank you so much for joining us. Your comments, your questions, your additions, your points that you brought were all so appreciated. May God continue to bless you until we do it all over again next time. My name is Derek Vire with The Bible Perspective. What you've received should be sufficient. I'm quite sure. Potent stuff, stuff that you need to add study on. But even this was sufficient. And my encouragement to you is, Endai Naijoro. Continue the conversation on all social media platforms. We are the SID Media, broadcasting to you live out of Centurion Irene in Pretoria.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.